The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ going out and living as Jesus did. The body of Christ is not made up of Lutherans and Catholics and COC and Assembly of God. It's made up of believers with a relationship with Jesus. And so often we get focused on what our church does or what our church says. And please, never put COC ahead of what Jesus is telling you. And his sheep know his voice. God talks to us. But here's the deal. We need to be people of love. And this next one may throw you, but we're going to do some teaching this morning. And spiritual revelation to reach people around us. We need to come to a place that we're willing and not afraid to love anyone. Thursday, the Lord said, I'm going to bring you in contact with somebody you don't really like. But it worked in me to show what I'm preaching this morning. We had great conversation. Nice man. Nice to me. Nice to Judy. But we need to see in people's lives what he sees and be able to speak to it. Do we understand that the kingdom of God is not about loving people who love you? Do we realize that God has a bigger plan than just for us 12 and no more, or us 100 and no more? Do we understand that people are going to be lost if we do not get spiritual revelation to the place where we begin to love everyone, even if they disagree with us, even if they don't like us, and even if they do like us? But at times, that's very difficult to break through the stereotype that if you're not a Christian, then you have no value. If you're not a Christian, I'm not going to waste my time. You know, God did. God wasted his time, so to speak, that while we were yet sinners, say sinners with me.
Sinners.
Say, I once was a sinner.
I once was a sinner.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't die for the good people. He said that. He said, I didn't come to call the good to repentance. I came to call the unrighteous. The righteous. And so we look at life through our spiritual glasses, and God's saying, take the glasses off and look through my eyes. It's kind of interesting. I want to tell you something. Sinners or saints, it doesn't matter. You're not going to catch the sin of a sinner, okay? It's not contagious. Hello?
That's true.
And we need to be strong enough where we can tolerate to a place where we love them and have a spiritual revelation to speak into their lives about God, what God wants to do. And you say, Pastor, 2 weeks have made you mad. Yeah. Mad about what God wants to do in people's lives. Okay. Just yesterday. I can tell you illustrations for a long time, but just yesterday. I was carrying my 5-month-old granddaughter around and just felt I had to go in this room. I just had to go in this room. I'd walk by the door. I had to go in the room. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I had the perfect way. When I walked by, they all smiled at my grandbaby. So I thought, man, I'm going to take a step. So I walked in there and I said, hey, what's happening? Oh, the baby's cute. I said, no, she looks just like me. 45, 60 years ago, maybe. And they got a chuckle out of that. And I said, hey, what's going on? And she looked at me. She must have been 75, not much older than me, laying on a bed. And she looked at me and said, well, they took me down to clean out my arteries. They can't do anything for me. And she said, you know, I've lived a good life, you know. Everything's okay when I go, you know. And I said, hey, you don't have to go. And she looked at me and said, well, it's God's will. I said, what makes you think that? And I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember everything I said. But I said, you know something? I've seen God do all kinds of miracles. I said, I know you can look at me and say, well, if that's so, then why is your wife over here? I said, that's in the hands of God. I told her that. But I said, God loves you. He didn't close your heart. He wants you to be touched by Him. And there's hope. I said, when we lose hope, we die. And right now, you've lost hope. You've lost what you need. You need to be expecting from God. Sure, you may die. Someday, if God doesn't come back or Christ doesn't come back, I know you don't believe it, but you're going to die. And if you don't give me some amen, some will die sooner than others. And so, hey Curtis, how are you? And so, just talked and talked and went over to Judy's room and gave baby up and went back and talked some more and said, hey, do you mind if I just pray for you for God's healing? She said, no. I said, there's no fear here. I said, I told our people that I'd trade Sisseton for heaven anytime God, and they all roared because they know Sisseton. They don't know it's the best community in South Dakota, but and so we prayed. A little while later, the daughter comes over to Judy's room. And she says, you don't know what you did. My husband and the lady's son so desperately needed what you said. And we don't know. But at times we become so quiet about Jesus for whatever reason. And when God stirs your heart to talk to somebody, most likely they need it. You don't have to add to or take away or try to think up something to say. You just begin to speak. Fact is, Jesus told his disciples, when they take you to the courts, don't even worry about what you're going to say. I'll take care of it. And so, when I walked out yesterday to come home, the lady just laying in the bed said, hey, we'll be here till Monday. We'll be praying for your wife. And we go through all kinds of things so focused on issues or sickness or finances or stuff. And we walk by people that God has brought us into a place to minister and we miss it because we become introverted. And I know people say, but I'm shy. And so there's times that we lose our shyness. when you have truth to speak into people's lives, when you have a word from God, when you have a word of encouragement, when you can strengthen and help and minister to people, it doesn't matter what's going on. All you have to do is open your mouth and God will speak through you to minister to them. And he gives a spiritual revelation. So I was thinking, there's two things God wants us to demonstrate. Number one, he wants us to demonstrate to the world today the fruit of the Spirit. He wants people to know that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness are still around. You know, we don't have to go too deep. Just walking into somebody's hospital room or talking to somebody else and letting them know what's happening and letting them know what God is revealing to you because you care. What a blessing to people. And what a demonstration of what God wants to do in America and the world to let people know, I love you. You may be sitting here and you may be saying, well, nobody cares about me. Well, we better. Amen?
Amen.
But I mean, we go around and one thing that has absolutely changed my attitude for people is by where you sit. I pray for you every day I'm here. And that has changed my attitude toward people because you can't pray for people even if you don't like them, and I don't have any problem with you, even if you don't like them without changing your attitude. And so I start in these front rows and I pray for Sarah and I pray for Paul and I pray for Sherry and I pray for others on my daily list that have some sickness issues. And Leroy. Judy's on there now. Why? Because when you start understanding people, no matter what they've gone through, no matter what they're doing, it's hard not to love them. And so the Holy Spirit begins to teach us that we need to demonstrate the love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and or patience, and goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control, so people see it. People see it. Most of you ask me, how are you doing? My answer simply is, I've been better. I'm not wore out. I'm not run down. I haven't got a whole lot of sleep. But that's okay. Every day it gets a little better. Was I shocked on Saturday night 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Who expected that? Did I pray? Man. Did I tell God what I thought? Yeah, I did. Lousy deal. No. Did God fail me? No. Is he still faithful? Yes. There's nothing, friends, worth surrendering our salvation because something happens.
That's right, amen.
You know, I've been through it before. And I know God didn't fail me when my mom and dad were killed. I know God didn't fail me when my 54-year-old sister died. I know God didn't fail me in other funerals and other times. God's never failed.
Amen.
And so people say, well, don't you care? I said, forget it. That's a question that doesn't need to be answered simply for the fact if I didn't care, I wouldn't be around. But I want peace of God, and I want the faith of God, and I want the love and joy and peace that when something bad happens, it at times looks like you don't care because you're trusting in God so much. And that's hard. Because we do care, and we have a good relationship with my wife. But we need to demonstrate Jesus. And we don't demonstrate Jesus with a frown or condemnation or guilt. We just demonstrate Jesus through his love, joy, and peace, long-suffering. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Number two. The Bible says the gifts of the Spirit are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, gift of faith, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Gifts of the Spirit. Now look at me. I know when I say this, people are going to say, but we've never seen that happen and we've never been used by God in that way. That's a lie. You say, oh. It's a lie from Satan. I'm not calling you a liar. Because every one of you, if you're walking with Jesus, has ministered to somebody through the gifts and you haven't even recognized it. I was reading this book and the guy says, I was talking to this girl and she was going to be a young prostitute, and I asked her what was her dream for life, and she began to prophesy to me about when I was telling her my life, and she wasn't a Christian, but she prophesied what God had called me to do. Remember that? And I thought, wow. Well, we should understand something. How many realize that after the resurrection of Lazarus, that Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied that someone need to die for the nation? How many know that? And the Bible says he prophesied it. So if an unbeliever, unrepentant, unregenerate turkey can prophesy, how about a born-again Christian?
That's right. Amen.
Huh? I hate to pull the rug out from underneath you, but that excuse doesn't fly anymore. I've had people tell me, well, I've never heard from God, but then they'll stand up and testify or they'll share, well, God told me. Well, but you never heard from God. Don't you remember? You never heard from God. Wait a minute. God speaks at times we don't even know he's speaking, but when we look back, we realize that that had to be from God. There are Holy Spirit giftings that are just natural to the body of Christ. And you may say, well, I don't speak in tongues. Does that matter? Huh? I've never read, well, to get the gifts of Spirit, I got to speak in tongues. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. I do it when I pray. But I'm not going to tell somebody, well, you can't prophesy and you can't do anything else and you can't do nothing else because you don't speak in tongues. Am I too charismatic or too less charismatic for you? I believe that every single believer is going to be used by God to touch people's lives with gifts that we're not even aware of. And you know something? We need to. You think, oh boy, do you think you come across an accident, and I saw more accidents on this vacation than I won't even remember. You come across an accident and somebody's there and they're dying and they need Christ, and you think God's going to say, well, you can't pray for them, you haven't spoken in tongues. I'm not making fun of that. I love my prayer language. I love the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know, let's not focus on what we don't do. Let's focus on what God is doing.
Amen.
Because God is working through every single one of you who will allow Him to minister to you. And sometimes He even works through people who don't know Him. We don't have a corner on the market. Okay, I better take another offering. God is so amazing. Solomon, and I was going to preach on this morning, but I didn't feel, after I wrote it down last night, I didn't feel comfortable, but I guess I feel comfortable now. Solomon built the temple. Now, I know it's just kind of petty cash for you people, but that temple would have cost $3 trillion today. $3 trillion. Plus a little bit more. Just for the windows and, you know, the key for the door. So Solomon is praying twice. Once in 2 Chronicles 5, and I believe the other one's in 2 Chronicles 3. Because God was going to inhabit that temple. Solomon's words to God was, the heavens of heaven and the earth cannot contain you. They cannot contain your glory. How do you think this little temple is going to do it? You get the picture? The temple could have covered the whole earth and it wouldn't contain the glory of God. And I believe what God spoke to me about that, you don't have to worry about all kinds of stuff when I send you somewhere to say something to somebody, because my glory is so much bigger than your fear.
That's right.
Or fearing. My glory is so much bigger than you've ever imagined. My glory is so extreme. The weightiness of God and the manifestation of His presence is so huge. That whatever He tells you to do, He knows exactly what happened in that person's life. Now here's where we go. I don't manufacture words from God. I don't need to manufacture words of God so that I can feel that I'm worthy to be part of God. I don't have to tell people what they want to hear and say, God told me. And I don't tell people things that they want to hear and lie in the name of God. Okay? The thing I liked most about the book I'm reading, and I got 20 pages left, is that he wants to be accountable. So he had his whole staff go out and find all the words, or he had some books that he had all the words in. And then he notified people and asked them, did these words come to pass? And if they said no, he said, I'm sorry, I missed it. I've had to do that. I told you about prophesying to a lady she was going to have a baby. She didn't, but because she went to the doctor, they found out she had cancer. I was still off. The good that came out of it didn't change the fact that I missed the prophecy. If I'd have been right on with God, I would have told her, you have cancer, you need to go see a doctor. Follow me? And God's not punishing, and God's not holding against us. God's not saying, hey, I don't want you ever doing that. But one time we miss it, usually we quit. That's that great stick-to-itiveness that we have. If we miss something, we give it up. Speaking in prophecy or words of wisdom or words of knowledge or discerning spirits, we're growing in it. This guy's remarkable, but he's missed on 30% of his prophecy. Everybody said, well, he's not of God. Well, he's sure a lot more of God than I am. We don't always hear right. And I'm not condoning being wrong, okay? I'm just saying, if you told somebody something and it didn't come to pass, just apologize. Say, hey, I missed it. But we get come to a place where we say, well, you missed God and so it's your fault. I had nothing to do with it. Really? So, we need to love. We need to allow the spiritual gifts to flow through us. We need to be people of spiritual revelation in this time we live. We need to share and minister and talk of love, joy, and peace, and hope. And my mom used to come to me and say, Dwight, quit walking on your bottom lip. Anybody know what that means? I'm an amazing pouter. I majored in that for 30 years. Amazing. So lift up your head, the Bible says, because our redemption is nearer than it was before. To walk. You know, what are you going through today? What's happening today? What are the issues today that will affect your eternal life? What are you concerned about? What's going on in your head? What are you thinking about that's going to affect your destiny? Because you know something? My issues with Judy, with the heart, the issues we face will have no effect on our relationship with God in eternity. How many ever went to school? You will be tested. But God's not testing you so he knows what's in your heart. He's testing you so you know what's in your heart. He's looking at things and saying, I want them to know where they are. I want them to see what's happening. Now, there's a mass difference between testing and temptation. Temptation is Satan trying to get you to sin. Testing is God showing us where we are. So, when you were in school, at least when I were in school, when I were in school, every once in a while they'd say, well, next Tuesday we're having a test. Or next Friday. It was always Friday because it was always a sports day and you're thinking about football, or you're thinking about hockey, or you're thinking about something else. Well, we're going to have a little pop quiz. I'll pop quiz your one. And so you're all getting ready for the game, and the coach is saying, now, I want you all day Friday to think about the game. But coach, we have a test. Don't matter. Think about the game. Okay. If I think about the game and I fail the test, I won't be in the game. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We didn't get by with F's and D's and stuff and playing sports when I was a kid. Neither did I get by with my dad or mom. But, you know, coach was God. So God suddenly brings something upon us. I'm not talking about cancer or heart attacks. It tests us. Through that test, we see our growth process. I love to see the growth process in me. Because no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening or not happening, we should always be growing. Right? And so there comes a test. It's like with Joshua. Are you going to march around that building for a week hoping that one day it falls down? You know what happened today? We'd have marched around twice and said, that's enough of that. I think the last day he had to march around seven times, didn't he? That's a test. You say, what do you mean? Well, what about Naaman dipping seven times in the River Jordan to cleanse leprosy? What was his answer? Well, we got better rivers in South Dakota. No, we got clean ones. But he did it. And when he did it the seventh time, where was the leprosy? It was gone. Or the widow giving Elijah, you know, her last meal, then going to die. She had enough to get through the famine. Now there are times we fail tests. Peter failed a couple tests. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus looked at Peter before the crucifixion and said, hey, you're going to deny me three times, but I've prayed that when your faith is strong, you'll be strengthened. Peter went through it. He blew it. But God never kicked him out of the kingdom. He brought him in. And so whatever we're doing and however we're doing it, God is taking that and demonstrating to us where we are in Christ and what we need to step into. Because there's always more. There's always more. So how many of us today are right where God wants us to be? Everyone that's sitting here. He wanted you to be in church this morning. Spiritually, where are we at? We are at the place that we've chosen to come to spiritually. We're at the place, and if you're pursuing God, and if you're reading the Word, and if you have a prayer life, and if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm not putting all kinds of conditions on getting to heaven. I'm putting what God is asking us to do as we are on our way to heaven. You're where God wants you. Don't let Satan beat you up or lie to you and say you're not important and you have no value. Step into where God wants you to be. And as you step into where God wants you to be, you're going to bring people with you. People that people would never think would join are coming. And it's beautiful. There is no period in your life that God calls hopeless. And so let's walk in what he has. Let's live there. Amen.